Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Abba. We thank you for allowing us to see another day, giving us the breath of life, Father. We thank you for this Shabbat. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for our sins and that you hear our prayers, Father. Father, once again, thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for once again, as my brothers say, opening that Shabbat door for us, Father, giving us this time of rest, this time of intimacy with you, Father. Thank you for protecting us, leading us, and guiding us throughout this week. Thank you for strengthening us and blessing us, Father. Thank you for your mercies that you've shown to us, Father, throughout the week. Thank you, Father, for continuing to heal our Ema. Thank you, Father, for watching over our brother, Shabbael, giving him a clean bill of health. Father, we ask that you continue to heal everyone who is hurting spiritually, mentally, physically, Father. Strengthen us, Father, where we need to be strengthened, Father. Lead us and guide us, Father, and continue to be mindful of us, Father. Father, we ask that you allow your spirit to rest with us, Father, that you grow us and that you continue to reveal to us what's necessary for us, Father. Show us your word, Father. Again, not giving us too much, Father, not giving us too little, Father, but give us our daily bread. Father, continue to just watch over us as a whole, continue to watch over the young, the old, the rich, the poor, the sick, the healthy, anyone who has that eye on you, Father, and those who don't have that eye on you, Father, get their attention and keep their attention, Abba. Father, we just ask that you continue to impart your wisdom on us, Father, and continue to give us your knowledge, your wisdom, and understanding. And thank you for your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shalom, family. Shabbat be well. And yet magnify the Torah and make it honorable. Hope everyone can hear me clearly. And today we're going to be talking about the salt of the earth. We will call the salt of the earth by Yahushua. It was something that really, you know, Yahushua, when he walked this earth, gave parables, you know, and over the years, people then looked at parables different ways and this, that, and another. But I just love when he reveals stuff to me personally, you know, because I get to share it with y'all. You know, it's a good feeling, you know, like my brother said last night, wonderful lesson, Aki. You know, Yahushua came through, man, really comes through with all my brothers, you know. But, you know, my brothers are a lot more passionate, you know, that fire really comes out when they teach in this. It's like, ooh, do you hear it? Do you get it? Do you get it? And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I hear it. I'm with you. I'm with you, you know. And I just love it. See, because it's you know, that spirit is going on, you know. And I didn't talk to Ariel, but, you know, one of the things that he talked about was purifying the body, you know. But that's one of the purposes of salt. Salt is a purifier, you know, and we're going to get into some things, and I'm going to share it with y'all I'll share it with me. So we're going to start with in the book of Matthew chapter 5, 5:13. And it reads, Matthew 5:13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men." So back then, and I mean, you know, sort of now also, but back then, salt was used for a lot of things. You know, it was actually a commodity back then, you know, whereas now it's not so much. You know, you're not going to really find people trading in salt like that. But it's always been useful in cooking. That's its main use, cooking, food, bringing flavor out. So he says, y'all are the salt of the earth. Y'all bring the flavor out in this earth, his disciples, right? He said, but if you was to lose that ability, because that's what he's talking about, the abilities of salt, he said, its usefulness. In other words, if you're not useful to me, you lose the ability to be useful to me, men are going to trodden you underfoot. So he says, don't lose your saltiness. You know, a lot of people want to look at it as a quote-unquote religious aspect. But and it is, not saying that it isn't, but individually, how are we useful to Mashiach, Yahushua, you know? How do we help him season this food? Season that word, you know? Let's look at the book of Job. Job 6:6. Job 6:6. And it reads, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" You know, because that's like, that's the big trend now, the egg whites. You know, the white of the eggs, because it quote unquote don't have the cholesterol or this, that, and another. It's supposed to be healthier. But it's disgusting. Don't have no flavor to it. You got to add salt. You got to savor it. gotta put some flavor to it in order for it to be edible, or for it to taste like something. You know, think about the food, because I get Meals on Wheels, right? And they bring you food, but it's not seasoned. No salt, no nothing. So always gotta season the food, always, to make it edible, to make it savory, and to make you want to eat it. Now think about that, because our food is the word. How are we presenting this word? How are we bringing about the salt? How are we, you know, because Abba gives us this banquet, that his word is the banquet. And can you imagine being at a cookout and somebody, you got all this food and all of it nasty, you know? You know, we are blessed with sisters and brothers within this congregation that know how to cook. They get down, all of them. They know how to season that food. They know the right proportions of everything. You know, oh, no, don't want too much of this. Don't want too much of that. No, got too much of this. Let's balance it out with that. They know how to cook. They know how to flavor it, right? So that's how we're supposed to be with this word. You know, we have to present it in a way that is that people will accept it. You know, going back to what my brother said, you know, last night he gave the example with his director and him getting upset, that fire came out. He said he was hurt by that incident. You know, where the director came at the word. You know, if they ever come ask him, do he have a boss? Because he's your director, but I'm pretty sure he has a boss, right? So next time his boss sends him a email telling him to do something, tell him ignore it. Todaki, tell him to ignore the emails that come from his boss. Look at him as optional. Look at him as legalism. And see if there's a penalty for it. You know, see if there's a penalty for not listening to the one who's in charge. You know, don't let them get your goat. You know, just like Samuel, when he said, look, they rejected me as their leader. He said, Yahweh said, nah, they're not rejecting you. They rejected me. Don't get in your feelings about. Don't give him that. Don't give him that. See, because that was a teaching opportunity. You know, but there's a difference between a fire and a flame. We love the fire. The fire is just that. The fire is this. Fire is whatever it touches, it consumes. It burns up. That's fire. But that same fire, we cook with. You know what I'm saying? Because it's more of a flame. A flame is a controlled fire. So that same fire that will burn up everything, consume everything in its path, just like the words say, it's consuming fire. We use that same fire on our stoves. We use that same fire out in the woods at Sukkot, and we cook with it. But it's in that it's controlled, you know. So we get to, you know, use that as that teaching opportunity. Take that breath. Don't let that flame consume you. You know what I'm saying? Because that passion comes. It's like, boom, and we all do it. Guilty of it, too. Sometimes it goes like, and that's how Abba do, because he want to see what we going to do in that situation. That's why after we calm down, he gives us 1,000 ways that we could have dealt with it. You give us 10,000 verses that we could have said, and this, that, and another. But like you said, in the art of war, he has to train his soldiers. Train his soldiers and purify them. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's for all of us. You know, not singling my brother out or anything like that. You know, he know, and I hope all y'all know, anytime something like that, or we present these things, one, we presenting it to let everybody know. We presenting it to let everybody know the situation and how, if it was to our detriment, how Hillel got us. That's number one. Number two, it's part of our training. It's sort of like we all taking this test, and the answers are there. But if we all could share notes, you know, share, hey y'all, what's this? What's the answer to number three? A and C. Put down C, Aki. I don't know the answer to number two. What's the answer to number two? It's sort of like, you know, we all taking this test and we all working together to pass this test. So we have to bring these things up. We have to let y'all know what's going on. And please don't look at it as I hope nobody, and I pray nobody looks at it like we trying to be downgrading one another or this, that. Nah. Uh-uh. See, we can look at it back because we wasn't in that position, you know. And sometimes when we get in that position, it'd be our turn to test. Just like, hey, when a brother is caught up in the fault, consider yourself. Consider yourself. Because it's going to come a time when it's your test. So consider yourself. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. That's what he say. Because your time of testing is coming, and you're going to want the help too. You know, so when we present these things, we're not beating each other down. We're building each other up on the contrary. You know, to the contrary. We're not beating each other down. That's what Hillel tries to do. He tries to beat us down with our mistakes. But our mistakes is what's helping us build. You know? Our mistakes is what's making us better. So eventually perfection will come because we've seen all our mistakes. We've seen the pitfalls. We've seen the traps. And we become that perfect warrior, that perfect soldier that Abba is looking for, that he's furnishing, you know? But he has to present these things, and we have to present these things, and we have to, like the words say, be those spectacles. We have to be the spectacles. We are the ones that's going to have to get looked at and examined and dissected and all that. But he says, we're those spectacles, and we're those spectacles, and we getting slaughtered for your sakes. That's what the word says. All day long we are slaughtered. We're counted as cattle. Why? Because if that cattle don't die, we don't eat. And if you're a vegetarian or a vegan or whatever, if that plant don't die, you don't eat. So we can be counted as cattle. You can be counted as cabbage. I like cabbage. But getting back to what we're saying. So we have to savor that food up and give that word in a way. And I hope everybody followed me. Didn't I, if I lost somebody, forgive me. Not my intention. Go back and rewind. And just let Abba get you. You know, let him get you. You know, don't try to absorb too much. Don't try to absorb too little. Let Abba do his perfect work. All right? But we have to present that word in a way that people want to eat it. You know, again, you go to a cookout and all the food nasty, You're going to be able to cook on, you have all this food. You're going to be like, well, got to eat something. You know, if there's nothing to hook it up with, I got to eat something because I'm hungry. And that's what's the matter with people. They're eating something because they're hungry, but it's not savored with that word. You know, that word is not, the word is not being flavored. So people are so hungry, so they got to eat something. They got to fill their belly. They got to, or else they'll die. So they got to eat something. I don't want to hunger no more. I don't want to thirst no more. So I'm going to eat this or drink, eat this bland food, which in a lot of cases, you know, the bland food is that stuff that really just don't make no sense at all. Or something that's been, that has impurities in it. Right? Because salt itself doesn't go bad. Salt itself doesn't go bad. And Yahushua knows this, right? But what he says, salt itself doesn't lose its saltiness unless it's impurities in it. I actually looked it up, right? Hold on for one second. And this is coming from I can't pronounce this, but it's spelled KOYUNCUSALT.com, right? And it's under the Salt Library. It's called, it's the subsection is Salt Library. One of the things it says is salt might lose its flavor under certain conditions when it contains, when it contains chemical impurities. Now, that's one reason salt might lose its flavor, because there's something in it that don't belong in it, right? Salt or table salt is made up of two elements. You have sodium, you have chloride. These two sodium and chlorine, Those two bond together, right, and form table salt. No, it's chloride. I'm sorry. Sodium and chloride. Those two bond together, and that's how you get table salt. Just two elements. Now, if it's something else within that, something else bonded within those two elements, right, that would cause it to be an impurity, and will cause it not to be salt. It will have some properties of salt, but it wouldn't be salt. Let me go and get finished reading something else, right? He says, other possibilities might be, the salt might have absorbed humidity and eventually evaporated and left behind a substance that looked like salt but didn't taste like salt. This is what Yahushua was talking about. I remember when I was young, back in elementary school, I did an experiment with, it's called salt crystals, right? And what you would do is you would take a little bit of water and put some table salt within the water. And you would let the water evaporate real slow. And after like 2 weeks, I believe, after a certain amount of time, these crystals will form with inside of the glass or whatever you had in there, right? Big crystals look like like on a snowy day when the water get wet and you have that little thin sheet of ice on your windshield. It looked like that, except for they was all across my glass, right? I never tasted it, but this is what Yahushua was talking about. It looked like salt, but it ain't salt. Why? It's been watered down. It's been watered down, right? So water affects the way salt affects the saltiness of it. Now, we know that water is symbolic of a couple of things. First of all, it's symbolic of people. How is it when you're dispersing this word, right? Because Yahweh affects and delivers his word to his prophets, his spokesperson, right? He delivers it in a way that they can understand it, right? Now, it is the spokesperson's job to deliver it in a way that the other people can understand it. Hence, what we was talking about. How is it that, hence back to Job, how is it that if food is unsavory, how can it be eaten without salt, right? So are we delivering this word? Are we delivering this, the word that has been entrusted within us flavorfully in a way people that can, people can eat it? Or are we adding our spin to it, our spin on it, our impurity? Is, are we getting into it, right? Because once we add us into it, it's not his word no more. It's not. Now, this is not saying that because, you know, a lot of times we have to take, we look at things, right, and we explain it the way Abba gave it to us. Sometimes we get caught up on a person's personality or a person, a saying or something that is part of the person's personality, the person's genetic makeup, and like he's saying this, but he don't mean it in that way. So a lot of times what happens and people will throw out a whole truth just because somebody said something they didn't mean in that way. And or here's the thing. If something was said they didn't mean in that way, or you took it the wrong way, or you, to you it means this, but what was said he was meaning this, but the way you took it, it meant this. That's the whole point of asking questions. That's why you have to ask questions, to think of a banquet, since we're talking about food. I can hear how Bell just getting on me right now. No, Dave, we're all talking about food. Oh, he preached the whole sermon about food. Imagine that. I love you, Hawk. But, you know, you got all these, because you have salt, but you also have other spices. You have garlic, you have rosemary, you have thyme, you have this, that, and another. So it's different ways to give that flavor, right? But there's different ways to give that flavor, right? But it's all the same, right? But the thing about salt, a lot of times salt, just a little bit of it brings the flavor out of other things. You know, you can literally salt meat, maybe just salt meat, cook it, and it has a nice flavor to it. You know, and I'm saying that in conjunction with talking about personalities and the way people bring things out. We don't want to, I use salt, he used garlic, he used paprika, et cetera, et cetera. But that word is still flavored. you know, and there's no impurities in it. You understand what I'm saying? I hope everybody gets the point. You know, our personalities are different, so the way it comes out, it's a little bit different, you know. Whether you eat fried chicken, boiled chicken, baked chicken, it's still chicken. And more than likely, it got some salt in it somewhere. You know? So one, you got people. One, the water is symbolic of people. The other thing that we know water is symbolic of is spirit. Right? So what is the spirit behind the word? And when I say that, you know, our sister Malka did a class a while ago talking about when we speak, right? We should ask ourselves a couple of different questions. The one question that I do remember is it necessary at this time? You know, it's basically the lesson was talking about when we speak to go through our minds. Is it helpful? Is it harmful? Is it, you know, these questions were asked. But the one question that stood out to me out of all the questions that she did ask was, is it necessary at that time? A lot of times, you know, our spirit gets into things and we want to feed it. We want it to grow. Because that's the whole purpose of this walk, is to grow this spiritual man and bring this physical man love. So our spirit is hungering for things, and it's hungering for things. See, but sometimes when it hungers for things, it's going to take a bite out of something that it can't digest. Sometimes in us being hungry for things, we might get a piece of that unsavory meat. We might. And our spirit, it goes into it, it dilutes it. Because it just can't accept it. We're not ready for it. After you season the thing, you know, a lot, most of the time when people cook, you season something first. Then you cook it. Then sometimes after it comes out, you might season it again. You know? So, sorry about that, family. So, you know, you season something, cook it, and then it comes out, you might season it again. You might took a bite before you was ready, before the seasoning got on it. You know? And it made it undigestible to you. So sometimes, like, me personally, I don't eat mashed potatoes. I don't like mashed potatoes. I eat potatoes every other way. Fried, whatever. But I don't like mashed potatoes. You know? And I don't care what you put on it. You can put gravy. You can put cheese. You can put whatever. I don't like mashed potatoes. But if you give me just a regular, like, a potato with some chunk, I don't like the consistency of mashed potatoes. That's what I don't like. The consistency of it. But that same potato make potato salad. That same potato make au gratin potatoes, which I love. You know, scallop potatoes. Love them. But it's just something about mashed potatoes that I don't like. You know, I love hash browns. They just shred it. But I don't like mashed potatoes. So that's something that you stay away from. You know for a fact that this is your mashed potato. I don't care what type of seasoning it is, what type of seasoning you put on it, there's some things you just ain't going to eat. Just ain't going to eat. Some people like that with bananas or peanut butter, et cetera, et cetera. Certain foods you're just going to stay away from, where don't matter if it's seasoned or not, however you season it, you know. Point being, delivery, the way things are delivered. And that's in conjunction with, you know, the seasoning. My brother's just having a ball talking about I love my brothers, all of them. But that's in conjunction with the way it's delivered. Mm-hmm. Our deliveries have to be on point. And again, with our our delivery has to be on point. And again, if we do things in the wrong spirit, you know, that affects. Again, so, you know, Yahushua knowing these things, that salt doesn't go bad. But he says, if you lose this saltiness, or if you use your usefulness with me, men are just going to trodden down on you. And that's the one thing that we don't want. We don't want to be at the mercy of men. All right? We don't want to be at their mercy. You know, David cried out to Yahweh every time he was in the mercy of men. He's like, Abba. Mm-mm. Yahweh, you judge me. I'd rather for you to judge me than to have these men judge me. Now we're going to go to Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 5 and 6. So, Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse 5, it reads, in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. So, another way that we season this word up. Said one, walk with wisdom. We are called to be wise. We are called to use this word. The way he said, this is your wisdom before all nations. So when he's saying walk with wisdom, walk with this word. Do what this word say. And we'll be counted as wise when men see us. He said, those who are without. So you walk with this word. To those who are without, show forth this word. That's what he's saying. But he also said, let your speech be always with grace. You know, let us speak kindly to one another or beautifully to one another and the people that we encounter. We ain't supposed to be getting riled up and caught up in that, you know, even... James, control that tongue, y'all. That's what he said. You know, when he wrote that letter, control that tongue. I know it's rough. You didn't tame, he said, man has tamed all types of men. I mean, all types of beasts. You can tame all kinds of animals and this, that, and another. But we can't control our tongues. No man can control their tongue. It's astounding, you know, in the way he's saying it. He's astounded by this. You know, how do we make a bear submit to our will, which is outside of us, but this member of our body, we cannot make it submit to our will. Right? So he says, let your speech be with grace and season it correctly. You know, and not that we're being man pleasers. All right? Because we always had to take that into account, you know. But we shouldn't use words that are hurtful and injure men. Right? Now, do we do that? And so what are you saying, Dave? Well, we should just lie to people. No, you don't lie to people. You tell them the truth. See, because people, and again, they misinterpret this verse, and this is why people won't speak about, won't say, hey, man, you know, this homosexuality thing, you know, we ain't getting to that. No, we ain't getting, no, bro, it's wrong. According to the word, it's wrong. See, they don't see that as a thing of beauty. They don't see that as grace. No man shouldn't be lying with men. I don't support that. Plain and simple. Women shouldn't be lying with women. I don't support that. Let it be with grace, we do. But, you know, the world don't see, again, the world don't see the things the way that Abba does. Abba sees a man turning from his sins as a beautiful thing, where the world sees us or a man turning from Abba as a beautiful thing. So he says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. If we walk with wisdom, Abba's going to give us the answer. This word will teach us how to answer. David said, look, I'm studying this word. He said, your word has made me smarter than the men before me, my teachers before me. So if he said that, what does it do for us? What does it do for generations after him? You know, if he could season that word and go in that word and season it and look into it and say, oh my goodness, all right, blah, 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 and it's been revealed to him, we're further along down the line. What is it doing for us? So, Mark chapter 9, 49 and 50. Excuse me. Mark chapter 9. Verses 49 and 50. He says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. You hear what he said? For everyone shall be salted with fire. And if you read before that, right, it's talking about if your hand, your left hand offends you, cut it off. If your right foot offends you, you know, that's what he was saying, right? But then he gets down to this part, you know, it's basically talking about having your heart and your desires in the heavens. Doing what is necessary, cutting off those things which are necessary to get to the heavens. If your left foot offends you, cut it off. Your left foot causing you to stumble, cut it off. Because it's better for you to go into the kingdom with one foot than for your whole body to burn. But then he gets to this part, and he says, for everyone shall be salted with fire. Can you imagine? You know how you take salt and you sprinkle it over that meat, get it nice and tender, and this, that, and another, giving it that nice flavor. Well, can you imagine Abba holding fire over you, and he just sprinkling that fire over top of you, and you burning. And burning, and burning. Because you didn't do right. Right? He says, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. He says, verse 50, salt is good. And this is something that he reiterates again. Salt is good. But if the salt had lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. So now you got salt being associated with peace. You have what is bringing out the flavor of things associated with peace. But think about it, you know, and again, think about it. Aren't you really happy when a piece of food is seasoned correctly? You're not just grumble about eating that food. Who don't like good food? Who don't like good food? You know? And you know me, I like good food a lot. You know? But it's the truth. It's when you sit back and you think about the things that he's saying, he's just being honest, and, you know, and I guess that's why he was always astounded by his Talmudim, by his disciples, by the ones closer to him, because he's saying things and he's going, man, y'all don't understand this. How don't y'all get this? I got to break this down for y'all. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Y'all the closest ones to me. Y'all don't understand me. Wow. If y'all don't get me, there's no way nobody else gonna get me. You know? I'm just talking about eating. You know, so again, he says, have salt in yourself and have peace one with another. So you have now salt associated with having peace, with peace. And that. All right. Second Kings, and again, this is on the back end of salt and association with peace. He says, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 20. We go from 20 to 22. And it reads, verse 20, it says, and he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt there. And they brought it to him. We're going to find out who he is in a minute. It says, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith Yahweh, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren. Or barren, it's a barren land, right? But it went, there shall no more be death or barren. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. So, physically speaking, Elisha took a cruse, put some salt in it, threw it into the waters, because at that time the waters were bitter and it was hurting the people. It was, quote unquote, it was Flint, Michigan water, right? Flint, Michigan water. People was drinking it, and they were getting hurt by it, right? So what he do? Took the salt. He purified. He made peace within that water. Because water is not supposed to harm us. Water is not supposed to harm us. Is one of the things that Abba put within this earth to help, one, to help heal us and sustain us. C. See, but it was a striving going forth, back and forth. Where this particular water was causing death and making people barren. But it took Elisha, or Elishua. My God saves, or my God is salvation, to heal the waters. And again, we understand what the healing, what the waters represent. It represents people. It takes Elishua, the God of salvation, to heal the people. It takes Elishua, my God saves, to heal that spirit. But what does he use to do it? He uses salt. He uses something that brings that flavor out. But also helps purify, because salt is a purifier. Right? Think about when you're in that state of confusion. You know, and it was many times, like I said, and this is something that y'all heard before. There was plenty of times sitting within Bet Yahweh that I heard things, and I just didn't get it at that time. You know, Yahushua is the Word. Okay, he's the Word. Yahushua is the Torah. Well, how he's the Word and the Torah? Yahushua is this, and Yahushua is that, and Yahushua is that. How can he be all this? Wait a minute. This ain't making no sense. The God of salvation made peace with me. And that's the thing. You can't just we are in a microwave generation where we want stuff done right now. We got to learn to sit. Whenever you're cooking, the best cooked meals is the ones that sit. Everybody know you make a nice stew, it tastes better the next day than it do the first day. It then sat and the flavors then marinated a little bit more. And, you know, they locked in a little bit more and it bring, oh, man, I did this. You know, the next day you go, I did this. But we in such a rush that it's like, if I don't get it now, I got to go somewhere I can get it now. And a lot of times, you know, that's where the hunger set in. That's why people are so willing to eat that unsavory food. People are willingly eating it. You know? But he says, you got to have this salt within yourself. Let me work with what you got. In other words, that's what Yahushua was saying. Believe me, I'm going to get rid of the stuff that looks like salt that ain't salt. The same way they have fool's gold, well, they got fake salt. Right? So, says the waters were healed on to this day, according to the saying of Elisha, or Elishua, which he spake. Now, the next verse. Numbers chapter 18, verse 19. Another thing salt was used for. Salt was used to make agreements, used to make covenants. So remember one of the ones we just read back in Mark chapter 9, verse 49 and 50. Let me go back to that right quick. Mark chapter 9, verse 49, it says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. So, going back to, these next few verses, Numbers chapters 18, verse 19, Numbers 18, 19, and it reads, and this is in connection with the covenant, right? Salt being used for a covenant of grieving, but it's also in connection with sacrifices, right? How we ought to give, do things, how we ought, what ought to be on these sacrifices. So it says Numbers 18, 19, it says, all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto Yahweh have I given to thee and thy sons. And the thee that he's talking about is Aaron. Aaron and his children was the ones that got the heave offerings, if y'all remember. He says, which the children of Israel offer unto Yahweh have I given thee and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before Yahweh unto thee and to thy seed with thee. So all the things that we have just talked about salt doing. One, purifies. Two, makes peace. It's associated with peace. Three, as you know, us reading in Colossians, he associated with wisdom also, right? Because he says, hey, you got to walk with wisdom. And then with our words, we are supposed to show grace with those words and season it with salt. So he associated with beauty. He's associated with wisdom. He's associated with peace. He's associated with agreements, you know, his covenant, right? And then it's this first covenant is connected with Aaron and everybody that Aaron produces, his sons and his daughters. Why is that he say in this particular one, he says the sons and daughters of Aaron is connected with this particular salt covenant, right? We are the salt of the earth. It just so happens that the high priest, because that's who Aaron was, his sons and his daughters is connected with this particular covenant, right? But then let's look at this one. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Chronicles 13, 5. And this reads, ought ye not to know that Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, ought ye not to know that Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, the mighty one of Israel, gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt. So the salt covenant, again, this is an agreement with David. Now mention what he says in this one. As far as the king goes, he says David and his sons. But according to the high priest, it was his sons and his daughters. So he got everybody covered. He got that priestly king line covered. The high priest and the king. And this is the salt covenant. This is what he's using to declare who he's in agreement with, right? And we are the salt of the earth. Don't forget that part, because that's what Yahushua called us. We are the salt of the earth. Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, verses 13. Leviticus 2:13. We have this chief 13, and it reads, he says, "And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of your mighty one to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offerings, thou shalt offer salt." We read in Mark how all the sacrifices shall be salted with salt. Now we have a, well, not now, but then they had a rule. I mean, it's now too, but then they had a rule. Whenever you offer something to Abba, whatever you offer, that meat offering, right? Salt, put salt on it. This is what I want. But we are the salt of the earth. Right? We are with seasoning. We are what's bringing this flavor out within this offering. We are what Abba looks to as far as his agreement, the salt covenant. We are who, when this word comes out, we're able to break it down and okay, this brother needs to hear this. We know how to dispense it. We know how to talk to and give that word in a manner that is tasty to everybody. So family, I said all that to say this. We are important in Abba's eyes. You know, everything that he gave us is important. There is nothing that isn't. You know, a lot of times we go through things and we look down upon ourselves. We look, keep on looking inward and saying, "Why, Father? Why me? I can't believe it. I can't." No. It's time for us to stop that. Thank you. All right. And when I'm saying this, please understand, I'm not saying it to get us a big head. But Yahweh's words say, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and that you visit us." In other words, we have importance to him. Our brother went through the whole Art of War series, right? Aren't troops important to the general or whoever in charge of them? Do you think he wants any of his troops, you know, you have this general who has this army, do you think any of his troops, do you want any of them to die? That general shouldn't want any of his troops to die. Abba don't want us to die. We are important to him. We're more important, you know, like the brother said, you know, he talks about that song, "Eyes on the Sparrow." But even Yahushua said, "Yeah, that sparrow's great. He gets fed and this, that, and another. But y'all way more important to me than a sparrow. Look at how beautiful the lilies of the field is. Solomon was more beautiful than that." He said Solomon and all his array can't compare to that beauty. But guess what? Y'all even more important than that. Humans, we are more important. We are the precious commodity that Yahushua has, that Yahushua wants. Just like at one time, salt was a very precious commodity. You know, We have to understand and start seeing ourselves the way Abba sees us. So, family, I pray that everybody gets what Abba has for them. I pray that Abba continues to lead us and guide us and continue to open up our word, open up his word to us. And you know what? It's our word, too. Abba always has me say that our word. It is our word. It's our, we possess this word. It's ours. He gave it to us, so it's ours. Just pray that he keeps on growing us, and he will. And more importantly, I pray that we continue to be willing vessels. I pray that we continue to submit to his will. If you have any questions, family, just put them on the chat line, and me and my brothers are answering, and my sisters also. You know, but that's the end of the blog talk. I'm your brother, Dave Well. And we're going to close up now. Hallelujah. Well, nope. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now, one of your words is turned back to its origin, unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. I ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins, Father, and that you hear our prayer. Once again, thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for allowing us to see another Shabbat. Thank you for your word. Thank you for visiting us. Thank you for being mindful of us. Thank you, Abba, for just another chance, another day above ground. Abba, continue to heal our Ema. Continue to make us strong. Continue to make all of Israel strong, Father. All who are hurting physically, mentally, spiritually, Father. All who need help, Father. Give them your hand, Abba, in however way you see fit. If you see it as sending a brother, sending a sister, allow us to be willing vessels and submit to your will, Father. If you see it sending a dream, if you see it as sending a kind word, however you see it, Father, for you know what we need. Way better than we know. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, Father. But you know man. You know his inner workings. So, Abba, we ask that you give us what we need, Father, in every season, in every situation, Abba. Whether we hear it or forbear it, when we pray that we hear it, we pray that our hearts be not stony. Pray that we be not that hard-headed and stiff-necked people of the book. We pray, Father, that we submit to your will in all things, Abba. We ask now, Father, that you put your spirit and put your word within our brother, Yariel, who's going to bring forth your word, Father. Let him bring forth a great savor to your word, Father. Allow him to season and stir and do all the things that he does on a regular basis to make that food taste good, Father. Make your word taste good, Father. That it be savory and a sweet smell to your nostrils. That it edify us, build us up, Father. That it brings forth all your truths, brings forth and dispels any doubt, any confusion, any clouded mind, Father, that our minds be not in that thick, gross darkness, as you say, Father, but let your light shine forth. Let your smells come forth, Father. Abba, we just ask and we pray that you continue to lead us and guide us and bring forth your truth in all things. Through your Son, Yahushua, we ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, Israel. Enjoy the rest of y'all. Shabbat.
Even when our world is